Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty.
Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here with us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Tuesday. It is the 12th of July in the year 2005. And I know that's so because I looked at my calendar just before we came on the air. Alan is with us again tonight, Alan Watt, our wonderful friend. We'll see what comes up. We never really plan what our conversation is going to be. However, we are going to talk about chemtrails tonight for one thing. Our spiritual message tonight, again, is from The Course in Miracles, and this is from the text on page 108. It says, to be in the kingdom, remember Jesus said, is quoted as saying that the kingdom is of heaven is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. To be in the kingdom is merely to focus your full attention on it. That's a mouthful, folks. It's about a whole bunch of mouthfuls, I think, to think about. And Alan, thanks for being here again tonight.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's always. I've been spending so much time outside, and there are things on my mind that I've wanted to talk about. And you know, I found a video that somebody sent me that Clifford Carnicom had done.
That's right.
And I thought, when I found it, I thought, you know, this was just a couple of days ago. I really ought to get a hold of him and see if we could bring him on the air. I think he's a credible person.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I pulled my email in tonight, which I hadn't done for about 3 days, and I want to say to Jean in Virginia, Jean, I got my, what the heck is it? It's the virus thing, Norton antivirus. I got the program, and Jean, thank you very much. I wanted to send Jean an email and haven't done it, but he always, you know, he's been such a part of this broadcast for so long, as so many of our listeners have, but Jean is just, he's the one that that thought about mailing labels for our listeners, and he not only thought about it, but he made them up and he sends them to me, Alan.
Yeah.
So that I can send mailing labels to them, and he just sent me a brand new monitor. He bought my last monitor. He was at the house visiting, and he said, you need a new monitor. I said, right, I'll run right out and get one, Gene. And the next thing you know, a big box was at the house. Well, he sent a new one, Alan. And it's one of the ones that doesn't give you all the whatever those rays that are emitted from your monitors. It's a beauty, and it's so beautiful to work with.
Yeah. Hold on a second. I've got the train going by.
No, oh, okay. Oh, one of your trains.
Yeah, from China, yeah.
Oh, plus I have two girls playing over
China Express
here behind me. But I just wanted to thank Jean, you know, for that, my Norton antivirus. I never thought about getting an antivirus program, and so every year he renews it for me. Our listeners have been just really supportive and precious. I know that you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, anyway, I found this email, Alan.
Yep.
And this says, chemtrails, a meeting, and a Robert McNamara quote. This isn't long, and I think you would like to hear it. First, the quote is at the end of this, but I want to do this first. A quote from Robert McNamara, October 2nd, 1979. He said, "There are only two possible ways that a world of 10 billion people..." Now, are there 10 billion people in this world?
Oh, they can make the figure of whatever they want.
Yeah, they can. 6 billion, for some reason, is in my mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
"There are only two possible ways a world of 10 billion people can be averted. Either the current birth rates must come down more quickly, or current death rates must go up. There is no other way."
Mm-hmm.
"There are, of course, many ways in which the death rates can go up. In a thermonuclear age, wars can accomplish it very quickly and decisively. Famine and disease are nature's ancient check on population growth, and neither one has disappeared from the scene. To put it simply, excessive population growth is the greatest obstacle to the economic and the greatest obstacle to the economic and social advancement of most societies of the developing world."
Yeah.
Now, I just want to remind our listeners who heard us do this, the math has been done, taking the square miles, Alan, of Texas, if we figure 6 billion people.
Uh-huh.
It seems, if I'm not mistaken, that a family of four, there's so many square feet. In other words, the state of Texas can hold all of the people on this earth if there are 6 billion people.
Yeah.
And it's enough square footage that I think a family of four would have almost an acre. I might be wrong, but...
Uh-huh.
Now, that's not piling people on top of each other in cities, Alan.
That's right, yeah.
For God's sake. Anyway, here's the meeting. The meeting has already taken place. And it took place on Friday, July the 8th, at 11:30 a.m. Well, this was... No, excuse me. This is when this was sent. Friday, July 8th, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It says, a meeting by Clifford E. Carnicom. "A meeting has taken place recently between an investigative researcher and a well-placed military source. The identity of both parties is to be protected. The source has intimate knowledge of at least one aspect of the aerosol operations and asserts the following. Number one," and you remember these, so, well, of course you will remember them. Maybe you would want to make comments. And I didn't read all of these, by the way. I just pulled it up and printed it out after we talked. Number one. It says the operation is a joint project between the Pentagon and the pharmaceutical industry. Number two, the Pentagon wishes to test biological diseases for war purposes on unsuspecting populations. It was stated that SARS is a failure, as the expected rate of mortality was intended to be 80%. Alan, I don't know if there was ever such a thing as SARS. It's like
I know that it killed less people than the common flu did.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's like the West Nile virus.
Uh-huh.
You know, we don't know really if anybody ever... Okay, let me go on here. Number three. These are the assertions of these people. The pharmaceutical industry is making trillions on medications, yes, designed to treat both fatal and non-fatal diseases given to populations.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, the bacteria and viruses are freeze-dried and then placed on fine filaments for release. That would be from the chemtrails, right?
Uh-huh.
Number five, there's 10 of these, the metals released along with the diseases heat up from the sun, creating a... You were telling us about this last night, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Creating a perfect environment for the bacteria and viruses to thrive in the air supply.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, most countries being sprayed are unaware of the activities, and they have not consented to the activities. He states that commercial aircraft flying are one of the delivery systems. Now, do you believe that, Alan?
Commercial, no.
I don't either.
No.
Most of the, quote, players are old friends and business partners of the senior Bush. I don't know about this.
No.
8, the ultimate goal is the control of all populations through directed and accurate spraying of drugs, diseases, etc. 9, people who have tried to reveal the truth have been imprisoned and killed. I don't know anything about that, do you?
No.
10, this is the most dangerous and dark time that I have experienced in all of my years of serving this country. Now, this was evidently one of these, he said that the meeting, what did they say? It was an investigative researcher, which was probably Clifford Carnicom, and a well-placed military source. Well, you know what? I think Clifford Carnicom got conned.
I'd say so. It's probably Bill Greitz or somebody.
Says this information is relayed without qualification, as I am knowledgeable in the level of integrity of the researcher that has made this information available to the public. There is both risk and restraint that has been exercised in the preparation of this statement. I don't know.
No, it's disinformation.
Yeah, sounds like it to me, Alan.
The whole thing began with the Open Sky Treaty. And every country in the West signed on to this. It was never explained to the public what it really was, although they did legally put a few paragraphs here and there in the newspapers in Canada. And it was so vague that you didn't get much out of it, except that foreign pilots were allowed to fly over Canadian and U.S. bases in various areas for observation purposes. But then when you look into it deeper and get copies of this Open Sky Treaty, there are observers observing the observers. So, in other words, the observers are observing the ones that are spraying the public to make sure they're doing it. And a second blurb occurred about a year ago in the Canadian newspapers, just one more paragraph, saying that now foreign pilots could use domestic Air Force planes to do the same duties over Canadian skies under the Open Skies Treaty. So it's under the Open Skies Treaty. The only countries that never signed it were China and a couple of the Far Eastern countries and Switzerland.
Uh-huh.
And they're the only countries who are not being sprayed.
So would the jet planes then be carrying it in their fuel?
It could be in the fuel and it could be in extra tanks. They can do it either way.
Yeah.
But then
the pilots that are flying these planes, they have to know that there's an extra tank on it.
Oh, they know what they're doing because if they were commercial aircraft, they wouldn't be doing zigzag patterns across the sky.
Hell no, they
wouldn't. You hear that as a very drunken pilot taking passengers in the long mission.
No, but I was thinking of the military planes.
Oh, yeah. They know what they're doing. And I think it's foreign pilots that will spray over Canada and the U.S., and the deal is that our pilots will be over there spraying their countries. Kind of like a Dr. Strangelove policy, you see?
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense. But no, it's not commercial aircraft because you can actually see the commercial aircraft with the usual contrail.
Exactly.
Disappearing about a foot after.
And they're flying very, very...
Yeah,
and they're flying very, very high.
Yes, and in a straight line, whereas these guys do, as you say, checkerboard patterns. I've seen them do U-turns as well, and the stuff that they lay down forms these odd-looking polymer clouds. Now, we know that the polymer, and that's what gives the rainbow bursts around the sun towards sunset.
And what is polymer?
Pardon?
What is polymer?
Polymer is basically forms of plastic particles from polyethylene. They found in the 1950s that they could use this particular compound to bring viruses and bacteria down to a vast area, cover a large area, and the polymer was the carrying agent. That was officially disclosed in the 1950s. And they were actually testing some areas in Britain with it then, to see if it would carry viruses or bacterium down to the ground. And being under a national health system, of course, they could have all the data of how many people had asthma or different effects, etc.
Sure.
So all the testing has been done, and they're doing it for real now, you know. I'm sure it will also weaken the immune system. We know for sure there's aluminum oxide in it, and barium.
Barium.
And
now, how do we know that for sure, Alan?
It has been tested, and I know some people who've recently done.
You know the people personally.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Well, and I've
fact,
read
the last test had the 2% per liter contained for aluminum oxide alone.
And what is the aluminum oxide?
Aluminum oxide does a few things. It can be used in conjunction with HAARP, and this has been disclosed a long time ago, that HAARP, which travels with electromagnetic pulsation through the atmosphere, can act more effectively when it has metallic surfaces. In other words, it makes it more conductive, that the air becomes conductive like a circuit. And again, if your target is happens to be the population...
When you say conductive, are you talking about, let's say, if there's an electrical storm?
No, they send out pulses.
Oh.
And in fact, they said with HAARP, they can literally pulse out messages which the public would receive in their head.
Oh, my God.
And this is old technology. And so the more conductive the subject is by either inhaling or consuming or whatever, we're doing both with aluminum oxide especially, or any metallic substance. There's also copper, by the way, Tracy's found in this spray.
But more than the body can tolerate.
Well,
because
copper should not
be
in rainwater or snow.
Right, because copper is one of the trace minerals that is found in the body, isn't it?
It is, but as I say, this is coming from rainwater.
Uh huh.
So it's.
So what I'm saying is
copper in the sky.
Yeah, in other words, it's more copper than the body needs or can handle.
Yeah, so they're making each individual a receptor, which makes perfect sense. And they have admitted that they've tried HAARP out on large population areas.
Oh, my God.
Maine was one of the first main places that they tried it out on. And they found out that the easiest thing they can do, the simplest thing they can do, is to create alterations in mood, either from elation or to anger and depression. And they found a tremendous high suicide rate at that time. They found domesticated animals were going crazy and biting their owners. And so, yeah, alterations of mood are easily affected with HAARP. And depending on the frequency they use, they can also make you elated as though you were drugged, basically, and
wow.
Happy. So
mood
the more
swings, in other words.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then these people who have the mood swings,
mm-hmm.
they get diagnosed as being bipolar.
Yeah.
And they get given drugs.
Yes. Oh, yeah, this all falls in together. But it also, after time, especially with aluminum oxide, will help destroy your immune system. And since they do, this is the regular television, CBC News and BBC News, they keep having international conferences every month or so talking about the inevitable flu that's going to come around the world and kill most of the people. And they keep saying it's just round the corner,
yeah.
It's just round the corner. And so they are lowering our resistance to fight off something which should not kill us, but if we're weakened in our resistance, then it very well might. So this is deliberate planning to control and at the same time to start the culling process. There's no doubt about it. That's the function of it. Now, again, Zygmunt Brzezinski...
And it isn't race-specific.
It doesn't seem that this flu one is, as far as we know. The BBC said that their scientific surveys on this new avian flu, and they're only calling it the avian flu because the birds carry it, apparently. You know, geese and duck, etc. Migrating birds. And they said they found two genes in this particular flu which do not occur in nature, which is another way of saying
it's man-made.
They're man-made.
Yeah.
You see? So it's been altered to be deadly, obviously.
And besides that, there have been avian flus before.
Yes.
That didn't transfer over to humans.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all dogs, cats, and all, even mice, have their own types of colds and flus which
right.
don't transfer to humans.
Right.
And they always have. But today it's so simple to alter viruses and bacterium. It's so simple to do. And they are doing it. They are doing it. And they have been doing it for a while. You know. So they're going ahead with it, obviously. And they want to bring down the immune systems of the target areas, which, of course, is primarily the West. I know some people who are over in the Far East recently, and as I say, some of the countries like Brunei, China, they did not sign the Open Sky Treaty, so they're not being sprayed. And when they were over there, they didn't see any of these chemtrails anywhere in the sky.
This was in China?
Yeah, in Brunei, quite near.
Well,
quite near,
think about this. Mm-hmm. The reports that I've received... Mm-hmm. emails and, you know, like that,
yeah.
That it's being done in the English-speaking countries,
uh-huh.
England, Canada, the U.S.,
Australia,
but France, Germany, actually European white nations
mm-hmm.
that were once basically Europeans.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, there's no doubt about it. It's happening on a daily basis and often on a nightly basis.
And you know, I've thought about this with all the immigration, with all the different races that are being brought into our countries.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this specifically in these countries, too,
mm-hmm.
the ones that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you still have the Japanese,
yeah.
Japan that basically has only Japanese,
uh-huh.
and China that basically has only Chinese, and yeah. India. And all of those that are swarming over here, they're dispensable.
Uh-huh.
So they will be the victims of this stuff the same way that all of we will,
mm-hmm.
or all of us, I guess, would be
yeah.
more grammatically correct. And yet it is, Alan, it appears to be the white, basically European people
mm-hmm.
that are being done in.
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so that the bee, the busy bee, the white person has almost fulfilled his task. And they don't need him anymore. Yeah. You know, we still have a few qualities which can be utilized against the system.
Yeah, dangerous to them.
Yeah, we're very good at retaliating if we understand why we're retaliating.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they don't want that particular type around.
You know, I think about this very often, sometimes especially, when I question whether continuing the broadcast
uh-huh.
makes a difference.
Yeah.
And I remember a long time ago that you said, when we were talking about the Federal Reserve System,
uh-huh.
the monetary system, you said if enough people wake up to it, it's going to collapse of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that stays in my mind, that statement you made.
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, if nothing else, the information that people get from the Sweet Liberty broadcast is at least imparting truth,
mm-hmm.
at least as close to the truth as we know it.
Yeah.
And maybe that is the prime reason. Because I'm going to tell you, Alan, when you listen to some of the other broadcasts that are on the air,
mm-hmm.
there's so much fluff,
oh,
and there's so much BS,
uh-huh.
and so much non-essential information that is being, and misinformation
mm-hmm.
and disinformation along with it.
Yeah.
That it's really basically what keeps me doing the broadcast.
Yes, uh-huh.
Because I think, well, if Sweet Liberty goes off the air, then where are people going to get the truth that are listening to what they believe to be alternative radio?
Yeah.
And it isn't that there isn't truth that they're getting, you know, government stuff that's going on, and but it's details and details and details and details that we don't need to keep getting. Well, there's certain things, though, that need to be brought out, I think. I'm not saying that all of the broadcasts are non-essential, but it seems that there's so much disinformation included in...
It's deliberate. There's no doubt it's deliberate.
Yeah, it's deliberate. We've got a call here. We'll take it, okay? Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, hi.
Yes, Storm.
Yeah, hi. Greetings, Alan. Greetings, Jackie. Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying. I was also going to just make this statement and hang up that today the Arabic guy that was being charged with the murder of the Dutch filmmaker said in the trial that, you know, he could be a CIA operative or connected to the CIA, but he said that he did it for Allah.
He did a what?
He would do it again when the mother or one of them was crying. I mean, sometimes these trials with the murder trials, it's the family, you get a lot of emotional stuff with that, but he said to the mother that he would do it again for Allah. And so the point I want to say is that in a way, I think it's kind of not good for the mother, it's not good for the victim, but in a way it's good for some of the Dutch people and people in large that aren't connected with the New World Order of Holland or France. You know, the ones I heard was stupid political correctness they were talking on the shortwave of the Dutch News Service about 2 years ago. With that last Sagittarius solar eclipse and talking this foolishness, and it's kind of good for them because now they realize that, you know, when you're letting all these barbarians in your country and letting all this third world and all these ideals and us to evolve and all this crap, you know, they're getting themselves, screwing themselves over, and that's what they let in. So, I mean, that's true. I know about the stuff.
Yeah, it's all by design, Storm.
What now?
It's all by design.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes,
for,
it is.
Thank
but
you.
It's going to backfire.
Okay.
Because I think it will backfire in the end, because most of the people in Holland may not realize that. And so as a result, they're still going to be against this massive multicultural influx of stuff. In the, you know,
A lot of people in the U.S. are against it, and... it just keeps happening. Storm, thanks for your comments.
Okay, all right.
Bye.
Also, I wanted to just ask Alan. Oh, that's right, he can't hear me. Oh,
yes,
right, he can
hear you.
No, I want. All right, I'm going to say this and hang up. Can he maybe just describe to me what exactly the power position is of Queen Elizabeth?
Okay.
Is it Rothschild above her, or is she and Rothschild about on the same level?
Okay.
I'll hang up. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, bye. Well, there's two things here, Alan.
Yeah.
This Allah thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, that would be Muslim, right? I'm not familiar with what.
Well, you see, the old god was El. Here's the Masonic.
Yeah. Well, I'm not familiar with the situation he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
But what caught me was the guy saying, "I'd do it again for Allah," and what it's doing is there. I get so much of this stuff on the internet. About, the damn Muslims and et cetera, et cetera.
It's war propaganda.
War propaganda, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, let's be honest.
Okay.
Who invaded who and when did the trouble start?
Okay, well, let's talk about that after this break.
Yeah.
Who invaded who and when did the trouble start?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll address his question about Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. folks, we're going to take a break here. It is a commercial break for this broadcast. And if you'll have your pen in hand, you can take my address down. And if you would like to help support the broadcast to keep it on the air, you are being invited, cordially invited, to do so. We'll be back right after this. With Alan Watt, our guest, frequent guest.
Do Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, folks, we're back. For those of you who do not have internet access and you would like to have copies of the broadcast, the Sweet Liberty broadcast, I want to give you the number. But you have to have a CD player in order to play them. Because, well, you can get tapes also, audio tapes. But you can get a whole month of the Sweet Liberty broadcast for $25. And I think that's a wonderful value. It is, the number you can call is 559-781-3773. And Alan...
Yeah.
You know that statement that Storm made about this, whatever this murder guy did, and said I would do it again for Allah?
Yeah.
Well, that evidently is the big thing. And, you know, that opens a tremendous can of worms. Mm-hmm. Because that's exactly what their intention is here, is to create hatred.
Oh, absolutely. The last function that they had... Again, if this person and other people can't get it through their heads by checking themselves, the new American Century, and apparently it's on the new American Century website, which is the official organization of Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, and all the rest of them, which tell you that they intended to take over those countries back in the 90s, and why they were going to take over them in that order, starting with Afghanistan, then Syria, then Iran, and so on, you know. Iraq, sorry, is the second one. Then there's no point in reiterating the same thing to them, you know. They can check that for themselves if they really want, if they really care. This whole war was planned in the 1990s by very powerful people and very powerful corporations. Halliburton put bids in for a share of the action in 1998. You know, so
yeah.
So this is where you are with all of this. This is nothing more than a plan, a business plan to take over the Middle East, bring the same system of democracy, which is centralized government, a central bank owned by the World Bank, and a system of debt which taxpayers then have to pay off forever. This is the one system that they're spreading worldwide. And all this Allah stuff that they're using is just the propaganda, no different from the slant-eyed Japanese propaganda of World War II.
Uh-huh.
It's the same stuff, you know.
You know, I was in the car today and I was listening to, oh God, it's a talk show host that sounds quite a bit like Rush Limbaugh.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's his aim, is to be the Rush Limbaugh of today.
Uh-huh.
But they were advertising a book called The Ezekiel Plan.
Uh-huh.
And they were, you should have heard the commercial. This guy, whoever wrote this thing, wrote about the Iraq War 2 years before they did it.
Uh-huh.
He wrote a book about that. He wrote another book about something, all, you know, sort of like, oh, prophetic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy didn't have inside information. And now the new book is called The Ezekiel Plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the prophetic, it's prophesied in the Bible, and it's the, in other words, they're selling it based on the damn...
Of course, yeah.
And then it says, get the book.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Get the book to find out how much time do we have left. That's like Steve Quayle when he was talking one day on his broadcast about some terrible thing that was going to happen. And then at the, I mean, it was going to happen and the whole thing is going to collapse and all of this. And at the end of his broadcast, then he said, hurry up and get your gold before it's too late.
He was selling generators, foodstuffs. We have a market value in rations for the Y2K thing. And he made a fortune off of it.
Oh, yeah.
And he also said, like James Lloyd, that they wouldn't come back on the air if this did not happen.
Yeah, and they both came.
A month after nothing happened, they're both back on again.
They have no shame, do they, Alan?
No, that's a psychopathic trait. But they're also paid by the CIA to do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA started up American Shortwave.
You know what?
Yeah.
I don't know if there was someone else on the phone line.
Uh-huh.
Your voice volume just increased tremendously.
Oh, okay.
You're right here with me now.
Yeah. And as far as Queen Elizabeth goes, if people want to believe that somehow she's at the top, that's their choice.
Yeah.
And no matter what you want to tell them or any truth or any facts to go and check, they won't do it anyway.
No, they won't go... Well, because they believe what they hear.
No, they want to believe what they hear.
Yeah.
That's the difference. And so they don't check, you know. But there's no doubt that special families are bred for certain purposes. But no, the Queen doesn't deal with the details of this. She's just told that she is a symbol looking over a vast herd of the unwashed masses, and that they'll have to be gradually culled off. And she'll have been told that in a very sophisticated scientific lecture, probably. And it'll sound quite natural for her to go along with it. But she won't do any of this planning. And neither would the Rothschilds. No one in public view could possibly be running the show in case they were assassinated.
Right.
And in that case, they would lose their main people. You never put the real ones, the real controllers, in public view. You would never let the public even know their names.
Well,
because
you know,
anyone in public view is technically expendable.
It came to my mind when it really clicked with me,
mm-hmm.
when we heard about, well, if this happened, but when the chosen people were taken into Babylon,
uh-huh.
and there they were with their own priests, with their own religion, allowed to live separately from all the other people,
mm-hmm.
and they were supposed to be in captivity, Alan.
And run their own businesses.
Yeah, and run their own businesses.
No, it's complete fiction.
And that's
utter
when,
fiction.
Yeah, and that's when it occurred to me. So, okay, who was controlling the king?
Yes, and who really came out of Babylon? Was it the Babylon high priesthood?
Yeah.
You see, Babylon is wherever they put themselves. That was part of the mystery of Babylon. It could be anywhere they set themselves up, you see. And so all we know from the records is that a bunch of people came out with a brand new system of priesthood that didn't exist before. and preached a different type of religion. And that religion was based on basically human understanding of law and various laws. It was all to do with legalisms.
Legalisms, yes.
Of course, the Christians, they were given one version of it, but it's almost like giving two-thirds of the rest from them, because the Christians were not given access to the Talmud or the Kabbalah. And only by having a study of all three do you get the big picture.
Uh-huh.
You know? But, no, this is a long, long-range plan,
no doubt about it. When you mentioned their legalisms,
uh-huh.
It brings to mind Moses Mendelssohn's quote,
mm-hmm.
or statement that he allegedly made, that Judaism is not a religion,
mm-hmm.
it is a law religionized.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I'm familiar with that because it has happened on William Cooper, too, that these people like Rothschild and Rockefeller, you never see their faces or their names because they're not... actual government officials.
Yeah.
Somebody could bump them off.
Is that what you wanted to say, that you knew that?
No, I was saying, wondering if he knew if anybody in the past had actually attempted that. Because I don't remember, recall that had happened.
Okay.
But that could happen.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't quite catch what he said there.
Oh, what he said is that he knew that, what you said about, you know, the front guys not being out front.
Uh-huh.
And he wondered if you knew if there had been any attempts on any of their lives in the past. The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, et cetera.
No, they're given preferential treatment and so on. The very fact that a Rothschild could come into Britain, supposedly pull a stunt, a con, if you like, by pretending that Napoleon was winning against Wellington.
Yes.
And dumping his bonds so that everybody else would dump theirs, then he bought them all up for pennies,
mm-hmm.
and get away with it and walk freely round the narrow streets of London. And this ancient nobility of Britain, who had assassination teams, simply left him alone. No, that's rubbish. You see, Rothschild was asked to come in and manage the whole system by the nobility.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what it was. But the real powers themselves are never allowed to be shown in public. In fact, in Theosophy and a few other Masonic groups, they say that the hidden masters that run the show at the right time will come forward and show who they really are.
Really?
But by that time they will have sewn up world government, and obviously they'll have total control of the world, and have no fear of anything happening to them, which means that they can only appear in a completely totalitarian system.
In the protocols,
mm-hmm.
they mentioned that their king despot of
uh-huh.
the blood of Zion,
yeah.
their Pope of the world,
yeah.
he will be so benevolent,
mm-hmm.
and so with the people,
uh-huh.
that they will even put him out with the people,
uh-huh.
As though, you know, he trusts all the people.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that, of course, he would be totally surrounded by his protectors.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. At all times. But whoever it is, Alan,
mm-hmm.
that is, if they're going to present somebody,
yeah.
he is going to be slicker than we've ever seen before.
He'll have all the answers to the problems
yep.
of the world.
Yes.
Because he and his cronies created the problems of the world.
Yes.
See?
He's going to get rid of property taxes, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because they talk about that in there,
mm-hmm.
how the property taxes right now ever escalating.
Yeah.
They serve their purpose because they cause unrest.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come into their power,
yeah.
they'll get rid of those kinds of things. And they'll
they will, because we won't have any property by then.
Exactly.
And we'll all be living in habitat areas. And at the UN websites, they tell you that there will be no private property. It'll be rental only. And there'll be no private automobiles either. So anybody who wants to check up where we're to go, and how will you live, you simply have to look into the United Nations website.
Yeah, we have a quote at the website, at our website, at sweetliberty.org in the States, I think. It's either in regionalism or the states' rights.
Mm-hmm.
Rexford Tugwell, after, actually I think it was around 1934, it was a small newspaper article in Colorado where he said the government will own all lands.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1934, Alan,
mm-hmm.
or someplace around there.
Yeah. Yep, I know, and it still
might
have
been
the
44.
Tugwell Society, which is funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. Yeah. But maybe we should also mention that I have the books out now that explain a lot of this. Yeah.
Well, go right ahead, my dear.
Yeah, I go through the Masonic meanings of things, which is very important to even understand the language we're using or what you're reading in the newspapers, because there's double meanings in everything. And I give you the lost word, I tell you what it really is and all the rest of it. None of the nonsense that they put out there on the books for you to buy off the shelves. And I give you the extracts, where it comes from and so on. Very old books. And I also go into the history of money from ancient times, how it was introduced, how they brought down countries. Well, country after country, until they were all on the money system.
Built them up and brought them down.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, by using usury and getting them all in debt, you know. It's a this silly thing for relief of Africa. I mean, I don't know how many times they've written off the third world debt. And these boys at the front men of the so-called Rockstar Association, that come out and demand we forgive these loans to the third world countries are working for the banks, because we forgive the loans every 3 or 4 years and then we give them another one as soon as they're forgiven. But what the general public, who are all cheering this, don't realize is the money is borrowed from the World Bank by the US and Canada, and the guarantors to pay the loans off are the Canadian and American citizens. So when we write the loans off to the third world country, the citizens of the U.S. and Canada end up paying it. This is the con game that goes on and on and on. And none of the money gets to Africa anyway. And it never does.
Maybe they're going to call it Canadas.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good name.
Canadas.
But if you want these three books, they're $25 each. And you have to write to me. It's Alan Watt, which is W-A-T-T, and it's Site, S-I-T-E, 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada, and the postal code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. And my phone number, if anyone wants to call me and have a chat about anything, is 705, anything except preaching to me, thank you. My phone number is 705-695-0416. That's 705-695-0416. And you can't buy this information off the shelf.
And I think you should do the address one more time.
Oh, I just closed my book. Hold on.
You closed your address book?
That's right. I don't know where I live.
I'll do it. It's Alan Watt, folks.
Yeah.
A-L-A-N-W-A-T-T, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, like Fred Estaire with an E on the end of it, E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario. And the postal code is P, F for Peter, 3, E as in Elizabeth, 4, N as in Nora, 1, P3, E4, N1, Canada. And you have to send a U.S., or excuse me, an international postal money order. The $25 includes the shipping, by the way, the postage. And you send either an international postal money order, which you can get at your post office, or you send the Federal Reserve notes cash. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to use it. And as Alan has suggested, that if you don't have one and two yet, it would be better to start there. And if you have those, book number three, Cutting Through, is now available. Alan, did you find a way to get those copied, by the way?
I did get a dozen copied today.
Did you really?
By some strange miracle.
Uh-huh.
Some of the pages are a bit too close to the edges, but it's legible. But I didn't have the same chaos as the last time.
You went to another place?
Yes, sir.
Did you want to tell our listeners what happened to you?
Yeah, well, it's difficult to imagine, but however, I did take three master copies in for one, two, and three into a Staples place where they recopy. The girl told me it would take half an hour, nothing, no problems, it was a quiet day. And I came back in half an hour and they had my pages all over the counters, scattered. They had a full counter about 30 feet long at the back, covered with different pages from my stuff. There was pages on tops of the photocopiers. Neither photocopier would work properly with my material, and it kept chewing the copies up. However, in between all this, in a four-hour space, mind you, they did other people's stuff, rushed it through, and both machines worked perfectly with everyone else's material. And as soon as you put mine back on, sure enough, they get paper jams and have to tear the paper out from inside. And at the end, I knew they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again because I didn't know where all the stuff was.
You didn't know where the masters were.
And oddly enough, the three girls, they were in a sort of daze, and they were not standing talking to each other. They were reading through my material, which was all over the place.
And one had told you that they weren't supposed to read it.
Yes, right. I asked her what's happening, and she said, well, nothing at the moment. I said, well, I've been here for 4 hours. Well, nothing's happening, except that you seem to be destroying everything I've written. And their answers were completely out of context with the situation. Like, is there something the matter, sir? It was incredible, and...
And they didn't seem to be flustered at the problems they were having.
No.
Hello?
Hi, Jackie. I was wondering if you could ask Alan what his position or opinion is of the protocols. I don't think I've ever heard him give his opinion one way or the other, whether he believes here.
Yeah, well, who's calling?
This is Pat.
Pat, would speak up just a little bit, honey. Your question again?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could ask Alan what his personal opinion or belief on the protocols, whether they're real or fiction.
Okay.
Or a forgery, and also maybe you could ask him to speak on his background, and I don't think I've ever heard him speak about his, you know,
his
knowledge or where he's coming from.
Like a bio on Alan.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Alan.
Yeah.
Did you want to finish what you were saying about... Well, folks, when Alan and I talked that evening, when he had experienced this, what I got listening is that the people that were going through all these problems... I've been to Staples before because we've put packets together and we have them copied and collated and et cetera. And the thing is that while all of this was going on for 4.5 hours at least, because he waited a half hour to come back to get them, these people didn't seem to be flustered at the problems they were having. And the way Alan was talking about it, it sounded like these people were just in some kind of a daze.
Yeah.
It did, didn't it, Alan?
Yeah, you see, what we're talking about with the Queen and the Rothschilds and so on is tiddlywinks, because there are sciences at work here and forces way above all of this. The sciences alone are so far advanced, it puts all science fiction in the kindergarten categories. Sciences are so advanced.
Would you like to come back with us tomorrow night?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, well, let's go into that.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like to comment on Pat's question about your what your thoughts are on the protocols?
The protocols, whoever wrote them, it's not, to me, I don't care who wrote them, because the fact is everything in them, and there's no doubt they were written at the time they were said to be written, and what they wrote about things that would be made to occur within society, not by any supernatural means either, have occurred.
Yes.
And it's too precise. It has too precise a grip on societal structures, mass psychology, individual psychology, and group psychology. It's too perfect. I'm sure it wasn't put together by one person. And regardless of who it's attributed to, the fact is, what was planned, and it cannot be denied.
And the way it's written, of course, they speak about themselves as being the chosen.
That's right.
And their dispersal mm-hmm. has been actually a blessing to them.
Yeah.
And so either in fact or by them wanting people to believe,
mm-hmm.
it was those who call themselves Jews
mm-hmm.
who were laying this out.
And yes, and at the same time, it was done primarily, as far as we know, by those in Russia who were Khazarian extract, who had no Hebrew blood in them at all.
Right.
So that's another little mystery as to who these people really were in the first place.
Will you consider tomorrow night
mm-hmm.
about giving our listeners a brief background on your who Alan Watt is?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Not too much, though. Enough just to...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's great. I've had a lot of people ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be helpful for our listeners, or maybe just interesting, to
yeah.
know about who Alan Watt is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we will pick this up again tomorrow night. Alan will be back with us, and we'll play it as it lays. And thank you for being with us tonight, Alan, and thank you.
That's
thank you for taking time out from your desk to be on the air with us. Okay, good night. Good night.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Hear that? That's the sound of nearly 3 million American jobs.